injustice, yesterday's apartheid, yesterday's laying of the groundwork for today's capitalism. And there needs to be redistribution from the large corporations that have gotten all that wealth to the rest of the people throughout the world. But the point of that redistribution isn't just so we can shuffle around, you know, cells on an Excel spreadsheet. I think we should also be building a different kind of world that doesn't structurally run on racism and other kinds of oppression and capitalism. And the construction of constructive view is the point of building that world. That world would have a much different energy system. It would produce things in a different way. It would manage resources in a different and more democratic way. And I think those are the kinds of changes we have to think about building rather than only thinking about redistributing money or only thinking about tearing down the structures that we have now.
Olufemi Otaiwo, we want to thank you so much for being with us. Associate Professor of Philosophy at Georgetown University, author of most recently two books. The most recent, Elite Capture, How the Powerful Took Over Identity Politics and Everything Else, and Reconsidering Reparations. That does it for our show, Democracy Now! Produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 7:59 a.m. Next up is Wednesday Talk Radio with Paul Roland.
And good morning, everybody. What a rousing way to start this program. Yeah, ain't that the truth? Can't stop the world. Stop the world, I want to get off. Why let it stop you? Well, you know, it's easy to say, especially in the throes of such youthful enthusiasm as the Go-Go's were in when they put out that epic album in 1981, The Beauty and the Beat. Anyway, I am Paul Rowland. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. It's so good to be back after a few weeks. Boy, the world did a number on KBOO there for a while. I'm still not sure exactly what went wrong, but I know it has to do with this piece of equipment, ironically called the Uninterruptible Power Supply, which I believe is supposed to guarantee constant juice to our air room. We are, after all, a secondary emergency response station after public radio. Anyway, strangely, that piece of equipment, I think it took like a double hit. We've had a few storms, and it got fried out. So the power source was not uninterruptible. And I think PGE was like really slow in getting to us. There was, I don't know if you were tuned in whenever that was, 2-3 weeks ago, when there's just like these micro power outages all over the area. Just like hundreds of them. Usually, you know, there's like this one area, there's a few thousand, but it seemed different to me. I don't know, maybe I just don't pay attention that much. But so yeah, KBOO got hit, and it took a while, possibly too long for PG to get here, so then we could actually figure out what was all going on. And we've ordered this part. I don't think it's gotten here yet, but we have figured out how to sort of get juice to the air room. Anyway, and here I am. Here we are. Yay. KBOO. I also just found out on the weekend that we were back on the air and didn't really have time to line up a guest. I'm here all by myself. So I'd love to talk to you. 503-231-8187. That song, of course, you know, it's kind of a New Year's song. I was looking up songs of, you know, hope, renewal, and that one kind of just jumped out. Along with another one we might actually get to later, Time by Edwin Starr. I've really been into songs about time. That one sort of escaped my attention. Edwin Starr, of course, did that massively great anti-war song just called War. Huh, what is it good for? He's also got he's got a lot of good songs, but also this song called Time, which we'll see how things go. You know, if we get really busy, if everybody starts calling in and we have a great conversation going, we don't need to get to that. But so I kind of want to talk about, the storm in California once again has got the doomer in me awake and crying out for attention. Just wave after wave after wave after wave of massive storms, these atmospheric rivers, just this massive amount of moisture. And of course, there's more moisture in the atmosphere because our globe is heating up fast. And there's just more kinetic energy in the system. Everything's just going a little haywire. The jet stream is going up, going down, breaking up. Yeah, so that's happening. That happened. It's still, I guess they're expecting possibly even more rain tonight. I've been watching the news. The ground just gets so saturated that there are going to be disasters going on for weeks. Continued mudslides. Any new rain is just going to reactivate. I think there's like, I can't remember, hundreds of 400 or 500 slides. And those are obviously the ones that got people's attention across California. I mean, these I'd say new, not really new disasters, but just same kind of disasters we're used to. You know, we're used to floods, we're used to landslides, just upped several degrees so that they become something that seems completely different. You know, like heat domes like we had just a couple years ago. And speaking of which, James Hansen, the climate scientist, perhaps the most famous climate scientist, has some unnerving news. The El Nino, supercharged by global warming, is coming, and he says that 2024 could be the hottest ever. And that's scary to think about. So yeah, so I that's not the only thing. You know, these whacked out political figures, mostly on the right wing Republican side, just continuing to do things that are just going to make it impossible to address the crises that we are in. And I could go on. So yeah, the present is dire. The future looks bleak. So I really need something to look forward to, don't you? So one thing I've done, this is just my little personal world. I've got this garage, really old garage, live in like 100-plus-year-old house, one of those nice old Portland houses that my mom was fortunate to be able to afford when I moved her out here 7.5 years ago. Hi, Mom, if you're listening. And anyway, this thing has been, has been weathered. It's got some foundations are crumbling a little bit. The rats got in and nibbled on the concrete. Anyway, I won't bore you with all the details. So I just jumped in, and I'm kind of renovating it from the ground up, just a little bit at a time. And that's a project that's kind of got me engaged and enthusiastic. And not everyone has their own house. Very, very few of us, relatively speaking, are actually, able to, jump into that kind of project where, you are able to do something in your own property that, you can hopefully, I'm not crossing my fingers too hard about how long we're going to last at this point, but, you'll be able to enjoy the benefits, at least enjoy the fact that I'm doing something that's, positive, that has, that adds value. I'm not talking about monetary value. I want to make a workshop in there and, storage and stuff. Anyway, so I want to make it a nice space. I enjoy it. So yeah, that's something that I'm looking forward to. That's something that I can, but as I say, I'm privileged. I'm lucky to be able to have that ability to do that. And I realize that probably not as much as I could, because that's the nature of privilege, is you don't really feel what other people who aren't so privileged. Anyway, so that's in my little world. But I was thinking, I've been involved in community projects throughout my life, a bunch of different community projects, and I've talked about this on the air before, but I would love to be able to do the kind of work I'm doing now. A little bit of cement work, a little bit of carpentry. I have a few little skills I've developed, in my 64 years here. And another, I just sort of wing it. But I'd love to be able to sink my teeth into a community project where we can all put our skills, our enthusiasm, our energies together and make a common collective space, like ones that I've, amazing, self-managed social centers around the world that I've seen. I'm looking at a list here of self-managed social centers, and there's only one ongoing that it lists in the United States, ABC No Rio. I assume they're still going on. I've been there, great place. They ended up buying it. They were occupied for quite a while, which is very rare in the United States. It kind of came out of the Lower East Side occupations of certainly the 80s. I don't know if they even go back to the 70s, but anyway, that's the kind of energy that inspires me. People just sort of seizing the day, just taking advantage. There's an abandoned building that's been abandoned for years or decades, and you know, it's not doing anybody any good. Why not, you know, turn it to the people's use, I say. Okay, so yeah. So I'd like to, you know, that's one of my dreams that I've had for quite some time, since, you know, I lived in Italy for, gosh, over a decade, and a lot of my friends were involved in these occupied spaces. There's a, you know, dozens and dozens of them all around Italy, and some of them, quite a few, are still going. You know, some have been kicked out, some have disappeared. There's a few others on this list that have been around. I think two or three others in the United States. There was one in Portland back in the around the turn of the 80s and 90s, called the Matrix. Maybe some of you remember it. So yeah, that's something I'd like to see. Why can't we do that? You know, I know that, you know, property is more and more expensive. Actually owning a building is prohibitive. But, you know, couldn't we all pool together, you know, get a few hundred of us and all put in some money to get a building? Wouldn't that be inspiring? I think so. All right. Well, that's one thing I want to talk about. Looks like we already got a caller, Molly. So let's just go right to you. Hi, Molly.
Yes. Good morning. And thanks for taking my call. Good old KBOO. I love it and listen all the time. And I'm, of course, a member. So, I just wanted to throw in on your thoughts of the morning. Well, we just celebrated a 3-day weekend, Dr. King's legacy, and I was thinking back to, well, you said you had this dream. I'm jumping around because it's all connected. Where it's very, what was the word that I just learned this morning? Just a minute, I have to reach for. A wonderful word that's new, and it is, I wrote it down, holobiont, a holobiont, an assemblage of beings that creates a larger whole. This is where we're kind of at, and to go back in our wokeness today, to go back to Dr. King and his dream, and the one you mentioned you had in Italy and everything, was... really not, well, it was definitely the African-American struggle, but more than that, and his legacy continues, the Poor People's Campaign, and I was lucky in that, well, lucky, I don't know, I went to one of the marches of the Poor People's March on Washington, because I lived in that area at the time, and you know, this is, then I started thinking on Dr. King's weekend, 3-day weekend, of that, and then environmental justice, and I looked up the Environmental Protection Act, the EPA, began only as recently as the 1980s. We have a global environment issue and a climate change and global warming, and I just want to relate it back and then leave it open for other people to call in, to the fundamental reason, which is the discrepancy between the wealthy, the few, and the many, many that they're, like the water situation in Flint and just everywhere in the world, in South Africa, African countries, every country in the world where the poor people and all the waste goes unaccounted for because, well, I don't have to say anymore. I think everyone understands that, the big industries and profiting and all that, and basically it is the poor people of the world and the discrepancy, and in Portland, in our own community, I agree with you, we can do so much. There's so many more homeless, houseless people, and I think the bottom line is that I got a room, and when I first moved to Eugene, $30 a month, and I lived $120 a month. When I lived in Multnomah, you know, 30 years ago, I had a house for $360 a month. So these types of living situations do not exist today. And this is our biggest problem. And more people are coming home, more and more young people that they don't have big big jobs yet, and they can't afford to get rents unless they have wealthy families that help them out. So I just want to say, and then I'll finish my spiel here, which barely touched on half the problems, a little tip of the iceberg, that it's the poor people of the world that are connected to this global climate change problem of the world being trashed out by the big businesses and the poor people paying the price.
Well, that's a lot. Thank you, Molly. Yeah.
Okay. I'll let you get on with your show.
Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. The rent. I remember those days too. Speaking of, I moved to Portland in 1985, and what a different scene. People can't even imagine that now. Probably the same room that people are paying, I don't know, $1,500 for, you could get for probably like $100 to $200 at the time. It's just astounding. It's the capitalist system. And we still don't see much signs of the kind of unified movement opposing the capitalist system that would create the kind of different world that might just barely stand a chance of staving off the disasters, maybe adjusting to the disasters better as they come at us really fast. So the other half, before we get to Harry real quick, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Love some, new folks to call who don't get around to calling too much. Love to hear from everybody. But the other half was, the whole self-managed social centers. That's, of course, it's the one good thing about it is it actually feeds energy into social movements as well, because most of the people who are attracted to such things are also the sort of people who want to self-organize social change. And we need spaces that are not hegemonically controlled by the capitalist system. So anyway, so the difficulty of actually doing what people around the world have done, which is, just seizing abandoned properties, because if you've abandoned your property, you really have forfeited your right to have it. I mean, the property system itself is fundamentally flawed. It's, part of the origins of injustice and wealthy control and power and all that. But if you're going to have property, at least make good use of it. Anyway, so that's what the laws in Europe are generally different. You do forfeit some of your rights to be able to control the property if you've abandoned it clearly, if you've made it derelict. And so it's difficult for people to actually evict people who've gone in. It's different from, squatters' rights. It's something similar, but it's different. There's actually, the eviction process is a lot more difficult in a lot of European countries, maybe all of them, I don't know. Of course, if you live in an authoritarian country, then, all bets are off. But, in these so-called democracies. So anyway, so it just goes to show how massively powerful capital property are in this country and how the police back them up all the way down the line, such that it's only in place certain moments in time, certain places, certain moments, like the Lower East Side in the 70s, 80s in New York, where something like ABC No Rio could actually set root and develop to the point where people were so committed to that project and loved their space so much, they actually were able to chip in at a time, of course, when property values hadn't gone totally haywire like they have, and actually buy that property, And my friends in Brighton, England, the Cowley Club, they bought that building. And these are just poor and working class people who pool their energies and their resources together. Anyway, so that's my dream. and other people have other dreams. We can continue to talk about this one subject, but looks like we've got a couple other people. Harry's next up. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, greetings, and thank you for taking my call. A few weeks ago, I turned on KBOO early in the morning, and there you were on Folk Espresso.
Well, fancy that.
Yeah, and I thought that was kind of interesting that you were taking Diane Hunt's place.
I used to be in the rotation on Thursdays a few years ago, but I lost that because I couldn't adapt to the requirements of the pandemic and produce at home, and now I'm back on once a month. I haven't taken her place. I'm just one of the rotating hosts on third Monday. But anyway,
oh, okay.
Glad you were listening.
I know I'm not taking her place, but
no.
You know, I knew she was probably on vacation or something like that. But it was interesting to see you on Folk Espresso. Right.
But anyway, this isn't about me. What do you got to say about the dreams, the hopes, the renewal for the new year, Harry?
things are looking really, I mean, with the Republicans taking over the House and the annex they're planning to do is kind of interesting, even though it won't pass the Senate or the President won't sign it, but they're just acting up. It's really kind of bad. But why I called was there was this article I kept in my phone in my bookmarks. I've been meaning to ask you for the last 3 years. 3 years ago in the Atlantic, it was called the article was called the deep sea mining and what they were planning to do. And I was shocked. This article was so interesting that they have robots and ships now that can suck up the seafloor and take all the minerals from it, and then on top of the ship, and then throw the sand out. And I thought, well, that's kind of killing fish and whatever it'll do. But they've been doing it for years. This article mentions what De Beers has a ship, and it goes around Africa in the sandy parts of Africa and does the same thing, and they're looking for diamonds.
Well, of course.
And I was shocked to hear about this.
But of course, that's the nature of the capitalist system. They will stop at nothing. They will go into outer space. They will blow up mountains all over the Southeast United States. There's nothing to stop the capitalist system at this point. It will go anywhere and destroy anything to get and make a profit.
Uh-huh. And about a year or two ago, the UN was offering for bids the area between Alaska and Mexico for deep sea mining. And because of the pandemic, nothing really happened, but we really don't know what's really going to happen. Right. They have these ships that can really tear up the ocean floor.
Right. Well, just add that to the list of the many insurmountable things that we have to fight. Well, not always insurmountable. We've actually had some victories. But yeah, I mean, that's. So what are we going to do? How are we going to get together and fight it? That's always the question.
Yeah, but the UN is doing this. It's, so it's almost, it's going to happen. So.
Well, they're enabling it. They're not initiating it necessarily. But
yeah.
Anyway, so well, that's another bleak thing to add to the list of why the present is increasingly unlivable and the future is increasingly dire. And so, why we need things to look forward to, which is why it was I think we need to. Sometimes it helps in the face of these large things to have tangible, near at hand, concrete projects that we can work together on that will sort of, have a instead of the vicious cycle that continues, it'll make a virtuous cycle.
That would probably work. It was popular maybe 10, 20 years ago. Community gardening.
Right on.
And, you know, they have plots all around the city, but you can help out gardening. And either you can take some of the proceeds when it's harvest time, or you can and give it to the poor.
Yeah, indeed. There are definitely, Portland is definitely, you know, one of the, you know, one of the places where this is thriving. There's quite a few different experiments. There's, I think it's definitely something I've been involved in. I was involved in actually close to my home in Montevilla. There's one at Berrydale Park where I had a plot for a couple of years. Back in the D.C. area, I was involved in that. I know, in fact, speaking of Italy, actually some of my friends at the El Paso Social Center, hats off to you all, still going strong. Some of the original Italian punkers occupied would have been a derelict, abandoned, I think, elementary school, and turned it into a thriving social center where they have concerts and events and stuff. Anyway, they occupied a space that had been part of the railroad right of way, and then anyway, long story short, it had a very important history in the social struggles of Italy, of Turin, Italy, which was a very major center. Anyway, I won't go on about that. Thank you for calling, Harry.
Okay, thank you very much, and thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, community gardens. Anyway, they had a community garden there, is the long story short. And yes, community gardens to be encouraged. I was actually helped start, I was part of a group called Garden Resources of Washington that helped start community gardens in mostly low-income neighborhoods in the city, and actually helped start a couple in some unlikely places. Very interesting process of having to talk to the landlord, getting different resources. Anyway, yes, that is one inspiring place, especially starting new ones. You know, it's always good to get involved in existing projects. But 503-231-8187. What gets you up out of bed and keeps you going, and what sort of social projects, especially, you know, private is good. Like I said, my little garage thing, it's keeps me going for now. But I'd love to sink my teeth into something a little bit bigger, something to where we can all benefit from. 503-231-8187. Looks like David's up next. You still there?
I am. Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about, like, the term climate change used. You know, the flooding and that stuff, it happens back east and out here. There's a group called the Army Corps of Engineers, and they do a lot of water projects, and they're usually not very good. They're usually for the wrong purpose and stuff. And this really adds a lot to the flooding. Now, I know the climate change thing is part of it too, but it's not just that alone. And another,
we're talking about creeks, rivers, everything just massively flooding. We're talking about like how apartments and houses washing away. You know, sure, the Army Corps of Engineers exacerbates issues where, you know, talk about the Mississippi River, for example, the whole levee system. Yeah, they're involved in that. But, you know, that's
no, but even those places where when they take wetlands and say, now they're safe to live in, people go and live in there, and then they flood. That's what's happening.
Right, but that's not just Army Corps of Engineers. We're developing everything everywhere, whether it's Army Corps of Engineers. I think picking on the Army Corps of Engineers strikes me in this case.
No, I'm not picking on them. I'm saying they're part of the blame, too. They are.
Well, sure.
But that's all.
Okay.
And another thing that's happening is, remember GMOs and Roundup and that?
Okay, yeah.
Remember GMO and Roundups?
Well, I know what the genetically modified organisms are. Yeah. I know what Roundup is, yeah.
Well, Roundup now, after 10 years of Monsanto lying about it not being cancer, it is cancer. It's still legal. And with Roundup, we might be gone before our planet, at least our country, destroyed.
Well, yeah, Roundup and hundreds of other synthetic chemicals that are poisoning the environment. But Roundup is a particularly nasty one. Yeah, that's been out for a couple of years now, at least. And there's, you know.
Okay, so you were asking, like, for something to do. I'm saying, back up from climate change and go back to these environmental issues, like restoring lands that have, you know, where creeks are or where bad farming has happened. There's, go back to those environmental things. The climate change thing just becomes a numbers thing. And that's why the big corporations like it. Because what they do is some guy will come on and say, well, we only got 10 years for this. And somebody else come and say, oh, no, no, we got 20 years. And it's just calling out numbers back and forth.
No, we're it's not just numbers. It's what's happening. It's what's happening with
I
the.
I know, but they just leave it at numbers.
Well, sure, they do that. They do that for everything. Of course, that's the name of the game. That's what the system does. But we have to, what are we doing to develop a collective response? I guess is my New Year's appeal and my what I'm talking. Sure. Okay. I've been, you know, yeah. You know,
I like talking to you. We really agree on things, you know. I know. It's just that
okay.
Everything's so screwed up. It's hard to, you know.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, David. Not sure exactly where that was going, but obviously these are all intersecting issues. You know, the land use, corporate poisoning of the planet. Well, you know, it just came out that, speaking of James Hansen, who I started off talking about, there's a new report in Nature which reaffirms and I guess it amplifies the whole history of how Exxon and all the other corporations had their own scientists studying climate change. You know, it's kind of, I don't know what the word is, looking back on it, the opportunities missed, you know, along the way when we've known for so long what was the writing on the wall, you know, how the accumulation of the so-called greenhouse gases, CO2, methane, et cetera, in the atmosphere creates this greenhouse effect. It traps the heat in the atmosphere and leads to the inexorable constant increase in global temperatures, which distorts the global climate system, destabilizes the global climate system, leads to the kind of events, the increase in the power, duration, frequency of the kind of events that just happened in San Francisco, heat waves, periodic droughts, extremes from one extreme to the other. You know, they were in drought, now they're, you know, in surfeit too much, and who knows what the next swing will be. I mean, I guess it is good news that the drought is abating, but this cycle is not going to end. I mean, that is good. Probably the reservoirs, on the Colorado River. Unfortunately, I guess what it's going to do is buy more time to keep on not really solving the problem for the whole issue of the Colorado River and the dams and all that. But anyway, looks like we got Mark on the line, and you're up next, and you could be too if you call 503-231-8187. Hello, Mark.
Good morning. Good morning, Paul. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I have all kinds of comments and questions. The one question I have is whether you know about PG&E taking $500 million from the state of Oregon and sending it to Enron instead of Salem. That's a mystery, and it's known to, I guess, a small number of people.
Was that back when Enron was entering into the
When Enron was adding its future profits to its balance sheet. Now, I was looking for things to do in Portland, you know, and I spent about an hour on YouTube with the yellow line, the green line, and the orange line, and I only came up with one possibility, and that's Overlook Park on the yellow line. I don't know if you've heard of this, but it's quite symbolic, because I think as a translator myself, I've been totally overlooked. You know, I'm able to translate 2,200 pages a month, like 12 books.
So wait a second. What is Yellow Line and Overlook Park? What are you talking about?
Well, I feel overlooked, and I think the main crises in our society, housing and taxation, are overlooked.
Ah, I see.
You,
okay.
You see, so you know, our understanding of civil society is so underdeveloped. Thanks to neoliberalism, thanks to the way Ronald Reagan turned things upside down.
So I'm just curious. I'm still looking for someone to sort of hopefully latch on to the spirit that I launched the show. You can continue to talk about whatever you want. And well, how do we actually get together and sort of make something more new, different happen along the lines of, you know, one thing I was talking about. You know, but KBU, you know, contributing to, I think KBU is a great community space. I believe in it.
Absolutely.
I'm here.
Yes.
And
yes.
But what I feel like KBU needs to amplify is our own. We need to amplify what's going on and help create further changes. Is what I'm talking about.
And I'm excited about a digital future, a future that really. Separates from the extractive past, from the being post-materialist. I'd like to see a Marshall Plan, not developed by the government, but developed by private people and private organizations, so that we could all be writers, editors, translators, poets.
I'm not sure digital is really the idea. I think the idea that it's not material, I think, might be something of an illusion. I think if you look at like the data centers, like look at the key components of the World Wide Web to these data centers.
Well, like the idea that I have is the idea that you'll find in academia.edu, the idea that the paywall is replaced by open access, and academia does serve as a people's publisher.
I think that's a good provisional thing. I don't think it's a real solution to the ravages of the capitalist system. Well, I think the idea people had that the internet, the World Wide Web, was like going to be this usher in sort of this new age of, you know, digital utopia or whatever. And I'm not saying that's what you're saying, but
right.
I think it's lost a lot of its luster. Like I say, the idea, and I'm not saying again you were, you know, going in this direction, but I think we do need to look at the idea that the sort of the digital world is somehow like not like part of the material processes as much is illusory, because the data centers suck off so much electricity and a lot of water to cool off. I just think it's important to keep these things in mind.
Well, I'm able to translate more in 1 hour than I was able to do in 4 to 5 weeks. And with this, my robot friend, deepl.com, which helps with 26 languages.
Right, and I'm saying that there's resources that go into being able to create that are hidden. Speaking of being overlooked, that I think we overlook the material underpinnings of this wonderful, beautiful digital world. I'm not saying you shouldn't use it. I'm just saying there's other there's other aspects to it. Anyway,
let me just say one okay. further comment that the elites are so obsessed with preserving their privileges and power that we cannot have social housing in any city in the United States. So that's the problem we face. And Elon Musk has turned a free public platform into his private toy. He's turned it upside down, and it used to be able to get an archive of your messages. Maybe that's still possible.
But, it's true. Well, that's the
Why does someone who want to monetize after he's already accumulated so much money? I'm on the other side. I want to be post-materialist. You know, I want to find areas that are qualitative growth.
Right, but we live in a capitalist materialist world, and that's the reality.
Well, that capitalist world is fading with the Shanghai Cooperation Organization.
No, it's not fading. It's stronger than ever. It's taking us down, is what it's doing, and we got to.
Well, the dollar is on its way out.
Right. Well, anyway,
my opinion. So that reality that it's not publicized has to be taken into account too. The apocalyptic reality. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling. Well, I still would like to put out these ideas of how we come together in a stronger way collectively. I'm still, the whole, I think it's great that people use, these new digital tools and, I guess it's great that we can meet and, virtual space and all. It all leaves me pretty cold, I got to say. I think I think ultimately the good aspects are outweighed by the illusions that it creates that it's actually making any real difference in this world. That's my personal view. So I'm still a brick and mortar kind of fella. And I believe in meeting together. This flies in the face of all the current trends and how we've forced to adapt to the pandemic and all that. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just an old Luddite. But I think the only way we're going to actually deal with what's coming at us is to actually create the kind of strong social bonds that seem to be fading and being cut short as we go along. And so, yeah, I don't know. I'd like to find some kind of physical social spaces. I don't know. Maybe it's just maybe its day is past. Maybe I'm just archaic. Maybe I'm just a relic of the past. I don't know. Anyway, that's what I wanted to throw out there, but seems like other people want to talk about a lot of other things, which is great. That's what talk radio is all about. So what are you looking forward to? Again, collectively, I guess the other thing is the collectivity that sort of the internet sort of gives us is, there's sort of real. I just think it's very shallow, personally. And I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. I didn't mean to really go in that direction, but anyway, let's go to a musical break, shall we, Ty? And that was Edwin Starr of the song War fame. War, what is it good for? Time, what is it good for? Oh, no, that's not what it's about. Time. How much time do we really have? I don't know. That's a good question. I personally think we're all kind of living in la-la land. You know what I mean? I think we're just living in la-la land. We're living in this world of projections and illusions, you know, what we think is really going. Look at the Ukraine war. What a horror show. And all these people think are just, I don't know, they just lost their critical senses, it seems like. The propaganda machine is so strong. Look, now the, you know, top U.S. generals and Ukraine generals have met for the first time. We've got 100 Ukrainian troops coming here to train on the Patriot missiles. We're sending Patriot missiles to Ukraine. This thing is just amping up, folks. And the U.S. was part of it. We helped start this thing, and we just can't cop to it. The living in the belly of the empire beast has really done a number on us. I just think we just can't really grasp the dimensions of how powerful the U.S. war machine has warped the entire social fabric of the globe. Anyway, that's a little spiel. Looks like we got another caller, 503-231-8187. We got less than 10 minutes. What do you got to say, Kathy?
Yeah, hi, Paul. I'm reading a really good book called The Psychology of Totalitarianism.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember the author, but I wanted to recommend that. But I also wanted to agree with you about so-called hands-on and real life versus the digital sort of magical dream that everybody seems to be, not everybody, but a lot of people seem to be floating around in. I think the thing to do going forward is for everybody to figure out where they want to live and put down roots there. If it's a city such as Portland, that's fine. I don't think everybody has to go live in the country, but figure out where you want to plant a garden and hold on if there's a big storm, and, you know, have an exit strategy if you have to, you know, relocate from there too. But I mean, start or continue building community there, and if people are homeless on the street, include them in the community, and you know, you don't have to have a house to be part of the community, and we need to be ready, and that will also accomplish the challenge of dialing down our consumption, which is what we need to do to try to keep the climate as in balance as we can. Also looking at things like switching to alternative energies. People don't all realize, but a lot of what is being promoted as an alternative energy source is biomass. Biomass plants are being built, and they're saying that this is just burning garbage or waste wood, but in reality there is not enough wood to fund an electrical plant. And so what is secretly happening is, or not so secretly, many cases that, you know, forests are being cut very severely up to the point of clear cuts.
Well, you're throwing a bunch of things yeah. out all at once there. Including people, I think we're, it seems like the fundamental problem seems to be an economic system that makes it increasingly difficult to actually create community, that the kind of communities that, you know, I think you're probably of my generation, that we were able to create even within the dog-eat-dog competitive capitalist system, as our first caller mentioned at the outset, were very different, you know, when rents were, you know, whatever, a few hundred dollars a month, and you could, you know, basically you could have a part-time job and have a decent life in Portland. Mm-hmm. Those days are gone. So, right. You know, so how do we within the dire, vicious nature of how the system operates, how do we pool together? How do we pool together our resources? You know, KBOO is a shining example. We have these public airwaves. We have the signal. We have a spot on a tower on the West Hills of Portland, and we're able to transmit my voice and all the other voices and music and everything, and hopefully generate something that people enjoy, people get something out of, maybe stimulates people. People call in, so obviously, you know, people are listening, and then they're willing to give a share of the money that they have, and that keeps that's our model. The task has always been, continues to be, to scale that. You know, back in the 80s, there was a thing called Alliance for Social Change, where all the different so-called progressive, social change groups were all got together. And of course, it fell apart after a couple of years. But then there's the Alliance newspaper, which is another model of a grassroots thing but we need to. And then, you know, there's a Southeast Uplift, different groups spun off out of that, and they help people start housing. But the problem is all these individual initiatives, valorous as they are, your attempts to create community, people's individual choices to not consume, it's just not getting anywhere near. It's just never going to get there. So how do we scale up? How do we create, like I say, a virtuous cycle where we somehow start to pool our resources together and create more institutions that allow more space for people to create more projects? And those are the kind of things I'm really interested, I guess. And I'm not saying everything else we shouldn't talk about, but that's what I was really hoping to talk about today. Anyway, I just used up the last few minutes of the show here. And we got Scott. Let me just give Scott the last 30 seconds. Sorry. Thanks for calling, Kathy. Scott, go ahead. You got a 30 seconds.
Well, I would just like, as a 71-year-old white curmudgeon, I would like to state that I think that we've devolved, that we're not a democracy. How could we be a democracy if we have a two-party system and these guys are all owned by the corporations that don't pay taxes anymore?
Well, sure, that's a given.
And we have a greater incarceration rate than communist China and communist Russia.
Well, I wasn't even talking about democracy personally, so I'm not sure who you're responding to. But yeah, that's all true. But that's like the starting point. What do we?
In my mind, that just occurred to me recently.
Okay.
How could this be a democracy? And I can't think of a single place that the United States has promoted democracy on this planet in my whole lifetime. I mean, we all overthrew Mossadegh so that we could get it the oil. We and all of our media went along with this charade that Saddam Hussein, who was a Baathist, was going to conspire with these Islamic.
Oh, I see where you're going. Yeah,
I know we're about out.
Okay,
of time.
Okay.
Yeah,
we're just
I'll
out.
I'll wrap
time.
It up. That's a lot of stuff right at the end. I'll have to call earlier. If
okay.
I ever call again.
Well, it kind of wasn't heading in the direction. I kind of kept on trying to prod and poke and encourage people, but that's fine. One would have thought that, you know, one is always deluded in the thought that we've actually learned some lessons, and here we are supporting an apocalyptic war, which is preventing us from resolving all these crises that beset us. And it's a long train of lessons that we should have learned and never did. And you're right. And we don't live in a real democracy. We live in an oligarchy. Anyway, thanks for calling. Thanks for everybody who called. I got to get out of here. Thanks, Ty, for being on the board. Bye, everybody.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 8:59 a.m. Next up is Fight the Empire.